church in Smyrna write, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Amen. This is the second of the 7 letters sent to those churches of Asia Minor, that area that is now pretty much Turkey. And all of these letters were directed by the Spirit of God. All of them were messages through the pen of John to those 7 churches. Those churches were actual, real churches that these messages were sent to. This church, the church at Smyrna, was a church that was a suffering church. It was a persecuted church. And for a number of years, they suffered persecutions from the Roman government, the Romans that insisted that they follow their religious ideas and their worship. And so they persecuted all of those that were Christians, all those that were believers throughout all the Roman areas that were dominated by the Romans. And this city of Smyrna, the Spirit of God is speaking directly to them and the things that they are going through. Notice here it says their tribulation, their poverty, and their suffering, and their imprisonment, their trials, their tribulations, and even their death, that they were suffering in Smyrna. And so it's a direct message to the church then of Smyrna, but it's also a message that's directed to the suffering church in our world right now. I think many of you probably are aware of the fact that that there is persecution all around the world of those that are believers. We are living in a free and an open society here in America. Even with all of our problems, it's still the most wonderful and free place in all of the world. And we have the privilege to worship according to the dictates of our conscience and without fear of any problems or any reprisals or persecutions, and we thank the Lord for that. I know that we are moving into more and more of a anti-Christ, anti-church society and culture. I understand that more and more there's an opposition to that, and so this message was to the church at Smyrna, the suffering church, but it's also to the church today to understand how to respond to suffering and what happens, how God works even through the worst of circumstances and even through suffering. God is able to work. Actually, the name of the city, Smyrna, comes from another word, and it's the word for a spice that you're probably familiar with. The spice is myrrh. That spice, it was taken from a bush that's common all over the Middle East, and it would be crushed. And the only way you would get the aroma of the myrrh bush would be as it was cut or crushed. And then in so doing, then the sweet aroma of that bush was very valuable, and you'll notice that in the scripture that the gum or the resin of the myrrh tree would become so valuable that they would travel for many, many miles to bring it. Remember when Jesus was born, that those wise men brought gifts to Jesus of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It was a treasure. It was a valuable aroma, sweet aroma. And then also in the scripture, it describes that in Exodus chapter 30, and verse 23 through 25, that whenever Moses was given the recipe for the holy anointing oil, that a lot of different spices were collected together and mixed together, and these principal spices were to be of pure myrrh of 500 shekels, and then other things such as cinnamon and calamus, and all these things were brought together to create this holy anointing oil. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. That was Exodus 30 and verse 25. So myrrh was a part of the holy anointing oil that was used to anoint all the furnishings in the tabernacle, the temple, and everything that was anointed with this holy anointing oil had this myrrh as a part of it. In Psalm 45 in verse 8, it was also like a perfume. According to Psalm 45 in verse 8, all the garments would smell of myrrh and aloes. And so it was used in the palace and on their royal garments as a sweet aroma that was to be upon all of these special and important items. And so it was there at Jesus' birth, and then at Jesus' death as well. The Bible says in John 19 and verse 39 that there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night. You remember that he came to Jesus at nighttime. But at Jesus' death, Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight, and brought it for the anointing of the body, the crucified dead body of our Lord, so at his birth and at his death. So you can kind of see throughout the scripture that myrrh was a valuable treasured ointment. And so there's some really important lessons for us to learn from this church at Smyrna that derived its name from the term myrrh, and as the persecuted church. So some lessons that we can learn from the church at Smyrna. Notice that in the text that it says that I know your works, I know your tribulations, and I know your poverty. I know your poverty. And then in parenthesis, it says, but thou art rich. I know you're rich. You see, to seek after wealth and riches as far as the things of this world, the Bible is very clear. It's all emptiness. It's all vanity of vanities. All the wealth and the riches of the world really means nothing if you are not rich unto Christ. If you're not rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not rich toward God. The real value in life is the spiritual value that we gain from knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way. Amen. Oh, what a treasure that he is to us, and how valuable he is to us. And that's the priority that's being emphasized here to the church at Smyrna. He was saying to them, you may be poor, you may be in poverty, you may not have much, but oh, you're wealthy because you know Jesus. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the treasure. That's the treasure that we have. The Bible says in earthen vessels, we have this treasure in that we know the Lord. The warning in Luke chapter 12 to that rich man who had all of his treasures and said, I'm going to tear down my old barns and build bigger barns. I've got so much wealth and so much riches. But the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then those whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who's going to own all your wealth and your riches? He was saying, so he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Amen. We understand that to pursue and to seek out after the things of this world is an empty, vain pursuit. And that's what he's telling the church here at Smyrna, that you're wealthy, you're rich. Amen. And so the suffering church around the world, they may be poor, they may be suffering, they may be going through a lot of terrible things. But be assured of this, if they have the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ, oh, how wealthy that they are. Amen. And how wealthy we are today, because we know the Lord and we have the great treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So being right with God, isn't that the most important treasure that anyone could ever have, is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to know the Lord in a personal way. Oh, how wonderful it is to have this treasure. Amen. Paul said to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. They that will be rich are those that have a desire to pursue after wealth and riches, fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but it does say, if your heart is set on the things of this world and on the possessions of this world, it is the root of all evil. So what a lesson to the church at Smyrna. That's also a lesson to you and I today, that we need to get our priorities straight. Amen. Nothing more important than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuse me. We understand that in the text that it also says that you will suffer 10 days, that you may be tried and shall have tribulation 10 days. I wondered, what does that mean? Most commentators believe that it's referring to the fact that there were 10 different leaders of Rome that were dictators, that were evil, who for a period of about 200 years persecuted Christians everywhere and did their best to wipe out Christianity. One of the bishops of Smyrna, a pastor in Smyrna, was a person by the name of Polycarp. You've probably heard of Polycarp, who was martyred for his stand for the gospel's sake. It was Polycarp that said, 86 years I have served the Lord, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? And he spoke those words as the flames of fire were leaping up at his body as he was burned at the stake, and he was committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and would not recant and would not deny his love for the Lord. He was a bishop, a pastor in the church at Smyrna. And it was there that so many suffered under the persecution of the Romans. But what does suffering, I know none of us like to suffer. None of us, it's certainly something that we avoid if we possibly can. But we know the Word of God. As Christians, we need to understand that all things, when God says that all things in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, when he says that all things work together for good, that means everything. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. So even suffering has its place. As difficult and awful as it is, suffering has its place. It produces something in the believer and produces something in the church. Now, this is so counter to a lot of the prosperity doctrine that is promoted today, where if you're going through some trial, it's because you have limited faith. We know as Christians that God can work and does work through our trials. He does work through our tribulation. God does minister to us in ways that we cannot ever imagine. We understand that all things, everything, the good and the bad, all things work together for good according to his purpose for our lives. It produces something in us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. We know these trying times, these trying circumstances, we know that trials and tribulations, they can produce something in our lives as we put our faith and our hope. And that's what he's telling the church at Smyrna. He's telling them that when you are crushed, Smyrna, myrrh, when you are cut, when you are crushed, that coming out of that awful experience is the sweet aroma that comes into your life, the sweet aroma that you could never know or experience if it were not for the crushing, if it were not for the sorrow and the suffering. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 8, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." What was he talking about? He said, "I have this thorn in my flesh." We don't really know for sure what it was. We just know it was just some tribulation in his life, maybe affecting him physically. We don't really know. He said, three times, that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That God is able to work in our tribulation and in our weakness and in our sorrow and in our suffering and in our crushing, that he produces something in us that's very valuable. "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Praise God. I know that I'm sure most of you, like me and Marcia, we have been just completely overwhelmed this week with the news of Davy and Natalie and Jude's death in Haiti. I went back and read the text. Davy had texted me. They were to be here on the Sunday following Jason Carly's wedding. They were coming out of Haiti. That was their plan. And coming to be with us on that Sunday morning. And I look back at the text, him apologizing for, "I'm so sorry that we can't be there. We want to be there, but we just can't be there. The airlines, all the airport is closed, and we're not able to leave the country." And I have known Davy for a lot of years, since he was just a little boy, and the first times that they visited our church. I've known Natalie not that well, but I've known her and met her. I've met Jude when our group went to Haiti some years ago from the church, and then I made another visit to Haiti. I've been there to their mission twice. So I met Jude, understood what a wonderful man of God that he was, and a spiritual leader there in Haiti. And the work that the Lloyds have built there is just, it's amazing. Hundreds of children that are in Christian schools, a lot of schools, a lot of children can't even go to school in Haiti at all. There's limited education there as far as the government is concerned. And certainly over the last couple of years, schools have been shut down, but their schools have continued even with all of the unrest and the violence there. They have continued in all that is going on. And Davy and Natalie had such a love for the country of Haiti, and had the opportunity to leave last week when the airport opened back up, because they were so committed to those little children, 50-some children in that orphanage, that they were so committed to them that they said, we won't leave. We're not leaving the children. And they stayed. And, of course, everyone knows the tragedy of Thursday night and all that happened, and their lives were taken, and the devastation of that. We've felt the heaviness of it. I'm sure that you have. And many, many churches and Christians across the country and around the world feel the weightiness of this. And it's certainly hard to make sense of it. But I was thinking about how that the myrrh would be crushed and the aroma would come, that our hearts have been crushed, and there has been such a devastating loss in the body of Christ over these last few days. I can't help but believe that in all of this tragedy, that the terrible mess in Haiti, the unrest, the lawlessness, the murder, the starvation, all that's going on there in that nation, that God can use this terrible tragedy to bring a sweet aroma to that nation. And that's what we believe, need to believe God for. We need to pray that through all of this crushing, that God would move, and that God would open doors, and that God would move in that nation of millions and millions of people who have been bound with witchcraft and voodoo that controls that nation. Let me tell you, all that's happening there is so demonic, it's so wicked, it is so satanic. And the only answer, what David Lloyd and his family have been trying to do, along with other missionaries, is to somehow penetrate the darkness down there. And for 26 years, they've lived in that situation down there that's been tough and difficult. But they knew they were called to do it. And I believe that through all and even the worst crushing, that I believe our Pentecostal holiness movement has ever experienced, as far as I can remember. I mean, this has just been such a crushing event and a tragic event. But somehow that God is going to move in this situation, and that the church is going to rise up. And the church is going to pray, and we're going to believe that God is going to break through in that nation, and that the crushing is going to bring about a sweet aroma of the gospel. Amen. In a terrible, horrible situation. And the darkness is going to be penetrated. And the hundreds of children that have gone through the Lloyd schools, when we were there many years ago, we visited their schools. At that time, they had over 700 children in Christian schools. You can't tell me that the investment and the seed sown in those children, and many of them are adults now, are growing into adulthood now, and that what God has done in their lives and the seeds that have been sown into their lives are going to take root and are going to make an impact. And we're going to see the sweet aroma of the worst crushing that I can just about imagine in my own heart. That God is going to do something mighty through it all. Amen. Let's believe God for that. Let's believe God. Smyrna is of the seven churches in Asia. Smyrna is a church that survived. It still exists even today. Even though in Turkey they're under difficult situations still there to try to have church. The church is still alive and well in Smyrna. It's still surviving. After all of these many years and centuries, it's still alive. The gospel is still there in Smyrna. That city is now called Izmir. 250,000 people live in the city of Izmir, which used to be Smyrna. It's the city of crushing. It's the city of the persecuted church that has survived, and God continues to move in the worst of situations, and we just praise God for that today. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you just join with me today as we pray for the work of God in Haiti and for the Lloyd family and for the seeds that have been sown in the hearts of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Haitians down there. Do you know that the Lloyds have a bakery, and they, over the last months, they have been giving free bread to the gangs, feeding them, serving them, loving them, in spite of it all. Let me tell you, you don't sow seeds like that in the hearts of people without reaping the fruit of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, how do we make sense of it all? We don't, except that we just know that God is sovereign, and that through all of our heartbreak and the tragedy of this, that God, through the crushing, produces a sweet aroma. Amen. Greater than we could ever imagine. Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us today by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I know that as the church of Jesus Christ, over the many, many centuries have suffered. And even today, there are hundreds of thousands of believers around the world that are living in dangerous circumstances. Many of them are suffering in persecution. But Lord, even in those dark and evil places, the gospel can thrive. And the sweet aroma of the gospel can make an inroad, can penetrate the darkness. And oh God, we thank you for that. That's the confidence that we have, Lord. That's the hope that we have, that all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Oh, and we do thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Can we stand together across this building today?